Native woman. We were taking a picture of her, and she stuck out
and
her
use
tongue.
That little footstool.
We had some funny. Oh, she hated having a picture taken, so she made all kinds of funny faces for us.
She stuck out her tongue. I started.
You were doing
that.
A comedy then.
Oh,
this is basically
boy.
The same questions I asked your mom. And we got your name and address and everything on there. So.
Okay.
What type of crafts do you do?
You just asked. Okay. I do beadwork, leather work. I make outfits. I work with different types of skins, moose, deer, leather work, and different types of animal furs.
Loom work?
Yes, loom work. And I work with feathers, wild bird feathers, like hawks, owls.
And out of the work that you do, what's important to you? What's the most important?
The most important is making it look original and putting my colors together the right way so people will like it. Something that people will like.
But out of the work itself, like you do loom, you do feathers, leather, which one of that type of work do you like the most? The outfits?
The beads and the feathers.
Mm-hmm. Are they easier to work with?
No, it's not that they're easier. It's putting them together. Like, it's like a challenge to put them together and make it look right. The way I'd like it to look.
Who taught you this beadwork?
My mother did.
And when did you learn?
I was about 12.
Yeah.
12 years old.
Why did you want to learn?
Well, I was Indian dancing at that time. I started Indian dancing when I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And she was making my costumes and putting beadwork on them. And then she started making other things, jewelry. So I started making jewelry for myself.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go and
to hold on to our heritage?
Is that really important to you?
Yes.
I'm asking you this, you know, like, because a lot of people, they'll say, well, I just like beadwork, that's it, you know. But I want to get the feeling
mm-hmm.
from you to come out.
Yes, it's important to me to hold on to our heritage. Because we're losing it.
What do you get out of doing beadwork? What do you get out of it?
I get the satisfaction of my people keeping this tradition.
How long? Go for it. Yeah.
Do you, when you're doing beadwork, I know when I do beadwork, I get a lot of patience, a lot of understanding of our culture. What do you get out of it? That's something I want to hear from you. There must be something that you really, really get out of it.
Trying to keep the heritage to look. I see a lot of Indian pictures, a lot of old Indians. And the things that they have, they're holding on to some spear or holding on to an eagle, the claw, and I wonder how did they get them like that? Where did they get these eagle claws, and why don't I see any today? So when people give us hawks, they bring us hawks, pheasants, owls, whatever kind of animal or bird. We keep everything from what we skin, and we keep the feathers, we keep the feet, the claws. We freeze the heads for bustles.
Like with the
work
that you do, what I'm trying to get you to say is you're proud.
Yes.
Of the work. This is the feeling I want to get from you, is that you're so wanting to find yourself that you'll go out and you'll find it any way you can get it. Even if people come here and bring part of it to you, it's
mm-hmm.
still helping you continue to work. What does your family think about the beadwork that you do, and how do they show up? Has one of your kids come?
Mm-hmm. My son says, Mom, what can we make out of this? And he, someone brings something here, he'll say, Mom, can we make something from this animal or this, what can we make out of this fur if we see something somewhere at a powwow or... Yeah.
When you, that is beautiful. When you first learned how to work with animals, then was it very hard for you to understand?
Yes, I didn't.
Is there certain ways you work with it?
Yes, you have to cut it a certain way. You have to use a leather scissors and get right into the skin so you don't chop the fur off, cut it short. You have to go right underneath and start trimming it there, little short snips.
We get a lot of ideas from books, too. We buy a lot of
books. Yeah, we buy books wherever we go. And from them books, we just get our own ideas. I get my own ideas. Add more.
Do you ever, I'm going to ask you this. I know that some people do it. Occasionally, I do it. The reason why I do it is because I want to show the difference between the white beadwork that I can do for white people and the Indian beadwork that I do for traditional people. Do you ever do modernize your beadwork?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever update your beadwork?
Yeah.
To suit the white society,
yeah,
as well as the Native,
mm-hmm,
society? Mm-hmm.
I do, because they, a lot of pastel colors people like nowadays. All pastel shades are coming in your homes, your paint, your clothes, your cars. All the bright colors, and that's what people like, so.
Do you know how to find your colors, your personal colors? Do you know how to find them?
No.
I'll tell you. You take a piece of paper, a pencil, or a pen, and you sit down for 5 minutes. You've got 8 colors. Those are the majority colors that Native people have, is the 8 colors. They're the sky colors, and the earth colors, and the water colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit down and you think about one color, and the first color that comes to your mind, you put it on paper. And then you sit and you think for another color, and that color will come into mind, you put that one down. And you get all 8 of you. And you do that again just to make sure, you keep doing that. And whichever one comes out the same all the time, that's the beginning of your colors, your own personal colors. I was taught this by an old Indian woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she taught us. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. Her name is Twyla.
No.
And she's a very spiritual woman.
Where's she from?
Buffalo. I don't know if she's from Buffalo, New York, or Syracuse, somewhere. I don't know the states very well, so I've never been to the states. I don't like the idea of going there. It scares me.
It scares you.
It does. It terrifies me because I find that the Canadian Indians have more than the States Indians have been used so bad, and they're still being used, and they're hurting people out there, that it scares me to go to the States. I'm scared that I would be one of the ones that would talk out and then end up getting shot or something because of what I have to say. Because I'm very forward, like I'm very outspoken, and I'll save my peace of mind, I'll get that person their peace of mind, and then I want to talk, it's my turn. And usually what I say, I don't come out and say it nice and pretty, I just come out and say it, you know, get it over and done with, sort of thing. What does your Native community feel about the work that you do, and how do they show up?
Well, they're always calling here and asking us if we have beadwork. Anything they need, they call here. They call my family, my brother, and my mom. They ask us, do you have this, or do you have this in this color? And the chief and counselors, if they meet with executives or tourists, they send them down here. They call us, ask us if we have any beadwork, and they send them down here to look at our beadwork.
What does the non-Native community think and feel about your work?
Non-Native. They like it.
And what is the response from them? Like, how did it show up?
Well, my English teacher, she was really interested in it. interested in what we do in our native arts and crafts.
Do you ever feel that there's not enough programs out there to go into the schools and excuse me, and teach the non-native community what the native culture is all about, so that way they can understand the native children more? And what can be done about it?
No, they have native assistant teachers here in Sarnia that go to the schools.
They do?
Mm-hmm. They have their own classes. They take the children aside for, I don't know, one period, and they either do craft, they sing, they teach them their native tongue, teach them how to speak in Chippewa.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I know
they're trying.
I know in London it's really bad.
Here. Every year there's more teachers going up north to North Bay, Thunder Bay, out to these colleges and universities, and they educate themselves, they come back, and then they try to get into the schools to help the Indian kids.
The material that you use in your beadwork, do you find it very hard to get?
Yes.
And has the material changed in any way?
Yes. There's beads we can't get that we had 10 years ago, we can't get them today. The colors, the sizes seem to be getting smaller. The Czechoslovakia, they make them beads there, and they get smaller all the
and
time.
They're cut, and then they break the string.
The designs that you use, like the Ojibwe people have the floral design. Do you ever use geometrical design in your work?
That's for looms. I hardly do looms. No, hardly.
When you're doing your floral pattern, is there a certain type of flower that you use, or is there just like a, you make your
from
own
around
design?
Here. Yeah, I make my own design as well as use a jack and a pulpit, which is around here.
Mm-hmm.
The tulips, they're around here, and, well, wildflowers, wild berries. What I put on this costume here was the berries. We're in on the reserve here. Wild trilliums. And I put them colors in there to brighten the costume up.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a hint. I did an interview with one woman, and I made the mistake of calling the outfits costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got hell. Because a costume is something that a white person would put on.
Yeah, I call them outfits too. But mostly everybody calls them, if they call you, you got any Indian costumes? You got any Indian costumes for sale? Or can you make me an Indian costume? You just hear them say costume. I call them outfits myself.
I tell them, well, it's regalia or outfits. And if you don't sell it, you don't get it.
Indian clothing.
Yeah, or Indian clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in a spot where they can see it the minute they come in. Our outfits are not costumes, they're regalias.
Where's that white halter at? With the feathers hanging down.
Do you recall any native stories that were given to you as a child or as an adult, being not like being told to be a Native woman's voice?
Hardly. My mother, she didn't grow up on the reserve. She grew up in town.
Excuse me.
And I never hardly see my grandmothers. They died when I was small.
Did your grandmother used to be reading?
She used to make baskets, Sophia. We used to make baskets.
What was her name?
Sophia. She used to walk uptown from here.
What was her last name?
Williams. She was Henry? No. Bunce from Kettle Point. And she married here. And she used to walk uptown. She's a tall, tall woman, I guess. She used to sell them all over the place uptown.
On a reserve, and that name puts somewhere down the line. That's why I asked.
Mm-hmm. She could have known people. I don't know.
What crafts do you remember when you were younger that are not being done today? Like, if you're looking back, what type of craft work that people do that aren't being done today that used to do? like there was a rattle, the turtle rattle hardly being bent up this way. Or the leg jingles, the leg.
No.
It's not more jingles, it's more like, it's not the bells, it's what they call the little cowrie shell.
Cowrie shells?
Yeah,
cowrie
no, no, no. That too is not being done, but the they're like little cow.
Cow bells?
Cow bells, but they're hoofs. They're the part
deer
of
antlers?
Deer hoofs?
Deer toes?
Yeah, something like that. And they put it on and they put it on their leg.
Yeah, they're deer toes.
Yeah, I've seen some of them.
Yeah, I have too, but they're hard to get. Right?
I do the cowrie shells.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I always wear mine.
How do you drill them?
Huh?
How do you drill them? I got a bunch that aren't drilled.
You know where I get these? And it's surprising because you go to a store and you will find a bunch of these pot holders. And I get that.
Yeah.
I buy the pot.
That's the only one I have left.
Hanging.
Oh, that's really wrinkled. Could she do that? Here's that halter. Huh? Hand it over. Thanks. My husband and I, we learned that 3 years ago. A lady from Wyoming taught us.
Do you find that it's hard to read, the letter
mm-hmm.
work?
Yeah.
Do you have to know what to use or people don't know?
Yeah, well, when we took classes for about a month, and we learned how to do it, and we got all the tools and things, and she had all the templates. She had us do templates first. Carve them around, draw them out in that, and put them on a leather and stamp them in and carve them in. But then we start doing our own designs on the silicone paper you get. We start drawing our own patterns on there, and my husband was doing all the wallets. I was doing all the drawings, and he was carving them out. We did a lot of Indian pictures, Indian chief heads and everything, but we sold them all. We don't have any left. We give some of them away.
Do you feel that the craft work, the beadwork is dying out?
Yes, I think it is. Because
what can be done to maintain it, to preserve it? What do you feel that you would do to maintain it?
Try and get people interested in wanting to learn it.
Do you find that the younger generation is not ready to sit down and learn it, or do you find that
they're starting now because they just recently got the children here on the reserve interested in Indian dancing. Now there's a lot of them that need costumes, a lot of them need beadwork. They like to make their own, but they don't know how. They're teaching some of it at the schools, okay. But then the beadwork like this, where I know the kids want like this on their costume, like their outfits, dresses and their aprons, they want all that beadwork, but they don't know how to do it. If we could find enough interested in them, we could show them how to do it.
When you're doing your beadwork on your outfit, do you use 2 needles or 1 needle?
Just one. Wax it down with beeswax.
Do you find it harder to work with the wax on the beard?
No, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find it harder.
Keeps it stiff, so
yeah,
keeps it in place.
When you're working on that, do you put a backing underneath? And a
newspaper or whatever I can find
okay.
to hold it on. Keep it stiff and keep its shape, and then I just either tear the paper off the back or snip it off with the scissors.
What is the purpose of the medicine?
I was told that it, from an old man, that this cross here signifies the four winds,
mm-hmm.
Four corners of the earth, and this is all the tribes. The circle is the tribes, and there's different colors. There's important colors in this medicine wheel that you use that mean have different meanings. But I can't remember what the colors are. So I just just make these myself and just design my own colors and put my own color feathers on or whatever. Whatever feathers we have. It's more, yeah, more for decorative. But my son uses this one for dancing. It's all traditional. He uses, this is buffalo horns, deer skin, and bobble feathers.
Do you feel that the future generations can benefit from the work that's being done? And
yes, they can, because that way they'll hold on to the heritage and they'll pass it on to generation after generation. But we've got to start now and try to get people interested in doing it and keeping it.
Do you feel that the craft work that you're doing, the beadwork, I keep using the word craft, do you feel that the beadwork that you're doing has a lot to say about the person that's doing the beadwork, about the accomplishment of the beadwork?
Yes, it's putting a lot of time into it and making it so that someone will enjoy it. Someone will like it and maybe they'll want to start making it themselves. Try to make it as interesting looking as possible.
Do you yourself teach your children?
Yes. My son can do beadwork. He can make these. He made that shield. He can draw. He drew that picture up there in oil pastel when he was 10 years old.
10 years old?
Mm-hmm. He's 13 now. He did that 3 years ago.
And the name of that ghost,
the ghost dance at Wounded Knee.
That is really nice. Who gave the name on him? Him? Did he use the name on himself?
Mm-hmm.
It must have been taught by somebody.
Well, we read a lot of books, and he's really interested in Indians. Any kind of books, if he makes money doing anything, any kind of odd jobs or anything, he'll go up to the bookstore and he'll buy all kinds of thick Indian books, hardcover books, mm-hmm. with his money. So he's really interested. He reads up on it a lot.
Now, is there anything you would like to say yourself, like without any questions being asked, something that's important to you? Talk about anything you want. How do you feel about this interview?
I like this interview because that way more people will be, maybe they'll pick some words up of interest that'll make them want to do beadwork and hold on to the heritage. I'd like to see more people do it on this reserve.
It seems really important to you for people to hold on to the heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it to you?
Because they're losing it. We live in a white man's world now. We have to educate ourselves to get along in this white man's world. Mm-hmm. Yet we have to hold on to our heritage at the same time.
Do you know about the mega shell? Do you know the meaning of the mega shell?
No, what's a mega shell?
Do you know the meaning of this?
No.
This is a shell that blew the first breath into man and woman. This is the meaning of the shell. So if anybody ever asks you, that's the meaning. It was the first shell that the Wanabosa found laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to, he went to his grandmother, and his grandmother asked him if he knew the meaning of the mega shell. It's not just called, there's two or three other.
Where are those shells found?
These ones?
Mm-hmm.
These ones, I got these. After